There's an old saw that says, you are what you eat. From a Christian point of view, however, you might as well say, you are what you worship. The object of worship transforms the worshiper. If you worship the true God, you will become like him. Worship anything else, and you will become like it. It's my prayer that everyone listening today will worship the one true God and become transformed by him. The transforming power of worship is lined out quite clearly in Scripture, both from the law perspective and from the gospel perspective. A moment ago, we read together Psalm 115. You will recall these words. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. Idolaters are like God. God made man in his own image. Idolaters make God in their image. The gods are like people. They have eyes, ears, mouths, except they have it worse off than people. Nothing works. They're insensitive. You can't communicate with them, and they can't communicate with you. This judgment is rendered. Those who make them will become like them, everyone who trusts in them. There it is. You are what you worship. Worship an idol and become like it. Worship yourself. Seek yourself while you may be found. Find yourself. Discover yourself. Worship yourself and become more truly yourself, insensitive and prone to every demonic vice. It is my painful duty to announce to you today that this is the dullness that damns. It is my privilege to announce to you this morning the one true God, creator of heaven and earth, Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. God revealed himself in the God-man Jesus, who took upon himself the punishment for your idolatry when he died upon the cross. This Jesus announced forgiveness for you when he said with his own mouth, it is finished. This Jesus rose from the dead on the third day and is now seated at God's right hand, where he hears with his own ears your pleas. He is sensitive to you, sensitive to your needs. This is the true God to worship, who by the Holy Spirit transforms those who worship him. Paul writes, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory as from the Lord the Spirit. There you have it. You are what you worship. Worship Christ and become like him, sensitive to both God and man, an heir to every Christian virtue. It will be to our purpose now, by way of illustration, to take a look at two pieces of literature which illustrate very clearly this principle of transforming worship. One is a novel by Oscar Wilde, The Picture of Dorian Gray. The other is a poem from 17th century England entitled Character of a Happy Life. Oscar Wilde tells an unforgettable story of Dorian Gray, an extremely charming and attractive young man. A painter captures Dorian in a masterpiece of a picture which shows Dorian Gray at the peak of his youth and beauty. Dorian gives in, though, to the hedonistic philosophy of his friend Lord Henry Wotton, and Dorian prays that he might always remain the same while the picture shows the changes wrought by age and sin. In the novel, this actually happens. Dorian gives himself over to a life of sin, and while he retains his youth and beauty, the picture shows him as he really is, tracing every line of insensitivity, cruelty, and lust. In the novel, as I have mentioned, the man who tempts Dorian to pursue a life of pleasure is named Henry Wotton. It's very interesting to note that there was a real Henry Wotton. He was a poet in 17th century England and wrote a famous poem called Character of a Happy Life. Ironically, this poem embodies the exact opposite of the philosophy of the fictional Henry Wotton. The poem outlines the Christian character of a man who is transformed in the image of Christ. This is the exact opposite of Dorian Gray. So striking is the contrast, in fact, that one is tempted to see in the poem the positive image from which Wilde developed the negative of the picture of Dorian Gray. Let me now read the 6 verses of the poem and use it as a point of contrast against the character of Dorian Gray. How happy is he born and taught that serveth not another's will, whose armor is his honest thought and simple truth his utmost skill. Dorian was born happy. He had everything, good looks, youth, beauty, wealth, position. However, he was taught evil by Lord Henry and came to serve his will. It seems that Dorian had no armor whatsoever against Lord Henry's philosophy. Whatever simple truth Dorian had was rendered more and more complex by Henry's philosophy. The poem continues, whose passions not his master's are, whose soul is still prepared for death, nor tied unto the world with care of public fame or private breath. By contrast, Dorian became slave to his passions. Whatever was available in the worst sections of London, he tried. He feared death, and no one was more tied unto the world than he. Who envies none that chance doth raise, or vice, who never understood how deepest wounds are given by praise, nor rules of state, but rules of good? Here we get to the heart of the matter. Everyone envied Dorian's good looks. Dorian's prayer to keep his youth eternally had one goal, to keep him from ever getting to the place where he would have to envy others their youth and good looks. Dorian worshiped himself. He was an idolater. He was his own God. As a result, he became more truly himself, depraved, sensual, cruel, and murderous. Who hath his life from rumors freed, whose conscience is his strong retreat, whose state can neither flatterers feed nor ruin make oppressors great? With Dorian, evil rumors followed an evil life. The portrait became his conscience accusing him day and night. He ignored the warning. Who God doth late in early pray more of his grace than gifts to lend, and entertains the harmless day with a well-chosen book or friend. Dorian doesn't pray. In the crisis, he cannot pray. His heart's desire was not for grace, but that he might retain the gifts of youth and beauty. Dorian's wicked day centered around a corrupt friend, Lord Henry, and his thoughts were centered in an ill-chosen book that chronicled the decay of a young French playboy. This man is freed from servile bands of hope to rise or fear to fall, lord of himself, though not of man, and having nothing, yet hath all. Ironically, the core of the fictional Wotton's philosophy was freedom from a life of indulging the senses. The end for Dorian Gray was an iron grip of bondage and fear. How far this is from the life of freedom described by the real Wotton, whose Christ-like man has learned in all things to be content. Dorian possessed great estate, yet never became lord and master of himself, even though that was his goal. By contrast, the poem says in essence, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The tale of Dorian Gray illustrates the exact opposite of that set forth in Henry Wotton's poem, Character of a Happy Life. Dorian's is the poet, the portrait of the character of an unhappy life. He was a young idolater who had everything and yet had nothing. His life ended in suicide. There is a place in hell for fictional characters. Dorian Gray will be there. Let everyone who thinks too highly of himself take warning. There is only one hope for the idolater, and that is to turn away from his phony god and worship the one true God, three in one, whose fullness is manifested in Jesus Christ. He alone is the Son of God who was sent into the world. Behold the beloved Son. He has eyes to see your needs, ears to hear your sorrows, the mouth to speak words of comfort and forgiveness to you. He has a body which suffered and died on the cross as the necessary and perfect sacrifice for sin, your sin. Here is the true God dying as punishment for your idolatry. Behold the beloved Son of God. Gaze intently at him. Let the full light of his glory flood over you. Worship him, the one true God. He will change you. He will cause his image to be reflected in you. He will develop Christian character in you. Christ is the true object of worship, who transforms the worshiper. You are what you worship. Behold the beloved Son of God, and bow down before him in adoration. Amen.